All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Derek Bros here with the Conscious Resistance Network and 90.1 KPFT Houston. So this last week in Houston, there was an event called the Texas Vaccine Symposium, and I was not in Houston, so I was unable to attend, but I had a number of friends reach out and send me the link and encourage me to watch online because our old friend, Dr. Peter Hotez, the classic propagandist for the shots the last couple of years, and really somebody who says that people with other opinions are not even worth discussing, issues with, not even worth debating or having a conversation with. This man was speaking again in Houston, and I was unable to attend, but we did watch online. Myself and plenty of other people submitted questions. None of those questions got asked in the end, unsurprisingly. But thankfully, there was one man there, and that is my guest today, Mr. Alex Rosen, who was actually there at the event in person and, chose to exercise his voice and speak up and was actually a man attempted to choke him, accost him for that. So let's get into that. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I mean, I think that the guy that you kind of tossed aside is probably not doing too well, but you did a great job defending yourself. We're going to talk more about some of the other work you do, but this is one of the forms of activism I would consider activism that you've taken on. What made you want to go to this event in the first place? And then we'll get into, what happened.
Well, I just want to shout out the Current Revolt. I'm not going to say who it was because I think she wants to keep attending these events, but there was somebody there that basically told me about it and signed me up. And I just went, and I knew I was going to end up crashing it because I always do that with like Beto O'Rourke and stuff like that. And just, after like an hour or two of listening to just cringe-inducing takes, I had to get somewhere. So I just crashed it and caused a ruckus. And by the way, my questions weren't answered either. I submitted four of them under different names. And some of the names were names that would be connected to a minority. So the fact they didn't answer those really struck me the wrong way. And it was just a very, very wacky event.
Yeah. And so let's talk about the content for a moment before we talk about what you interrupted, because I'm actually glad you interrupted when you did, because we had people, professors and attorneys from the University of Houston, one who is titled a bioethicist, who's out there saying that, the unvaccinated are trying to fight to be a protected class, and this is dangerous in all these different ways. And I mean, it literally was just, several hours of people denying the facts around them. I mean, like the comment you chose to say was related to Pfizer, right? And while we're having this conversation, Pfizergate is trending all over Twitter right now. It's trending all over the place because we now know that the Pfizer officials are admitting they didn't test their shots for stopping transmission, even though that's what we've been hearing for the last year plus. And so, I mean, I think what you did was relevant to the national conversation as well, right? So tell everybody what you chose to interrupt with once you got sick of hearing, all the garbage.
Yeah. So basically, they were talking the whole time about, like you said, how the unvaccinated or this or that, or they called medical freedom, bodily autonomy. They call those buzzwords that we use, like it's just all projection. And, so just hearing all that stuff was just really setting me off. But, so I decided to hit them with something that's not debatable, which is Pfizer got fined $2.3 billion for the biggest criminal conviction in U.S. history for bribing physicians and fudging with test results. I don't know why you would trust them just less than two decades later. And so I crashed it with that. And then an individual came to me and he started choking me. Like he tried to put his hand around my neck and, I giggled. I'm like, what the heck is even going on here? And I just kind of like shove him off me and he goes flying. And, like a true right winger, I just tossed the signs to the side and everybody got pissed.
That's a great, I'm going to keep that line in there. So, look, let's reassess the situation, right? For anybody who's like, cause I did see some comments, they were like, well, he's right about Pfizer, but he should have waited to the end. That was disrespectful to interrupt. And look, anybody who's been involved in activism, and if you've gone to these kinds of events, you know very well, you're not getting asked, even like you said, you did it under fake names, you try your best. I've been there too. I tried to go and I thought I was going to go your route. And then I was like, okay, they're actually taking questions. Let me submit the questions. Right. This is an event with Hotez a couple months ago. And then again, at the end, they decided not to read any questions. I was like, maybe on this very thin line between journalistic waiting to ask a question and stalking Hotez. I was like, all right, I'm waiting in a parking garage. He still hasn't come. Maybe I should just, you know, let this one go. But I honestly wish I would have taken your route. And so just anybody who's like, okay, screaming and shouting things, you know, the thing I really hate about this, Alex, is like in that situation, right? You're just the crazy guy. Everybody else in there, they're professionals. They're upstanding citizens. How dare this crazy anti-vaxxer interrupt our nice event, right? But if nobody does that, then none of this stuff is going to get discussed at all. Like, clearly they had no intention of bringing up any facts around, you know, what was, you know, what's actually happening.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. They try to do this meeting behind closed doors. I mean, I know they live stream it, but as soon as we're onto them, they instantly shut it down. Like, they had no plans on privating that live stream, that's for sure. And, you know, during break time, I got to talk to one of the, you know, the PhDs that spoke there. And, you know, I went, you know, as like an effeminate gay dude, like, hey, so, you know, I basically kind of debated with her, like saying, oh, my uncle says that Pfizer has the biggest criminal fine. And this PhD that spoke there didn't even know that Pfizer had the biggest criminal fine in history. She's like, well, is there a source for that? Like, it's unbelievable. They just don't know. Like, that's why, like, I don't know if they're malicious or I don't know if they actually think they're helping something. I think it's mostly narcissism with them and just the fact that they want the credit for saving the world or something. I don't know.
I think that you're onto something with that, right? Like, without trying to psychologize these other people, because that's, let's be honest, that's what they try to do with us, right? They try to label us. We're all right-wing Trump supporter, anti-vax, whatever label, right? And again, anybody listening to this, like, I think that we recognize that everybody's got difference of opinions and views. Sure. But over the last 2 years, I've met so many people who are united by bodily autonomy, individual liberty, and may have totally different political views or voted for different people, but they recognize that. And for those who are watching on screen, this is the situation as it played out from their cameras. And so we were able to clip this from the live stream before they took it down. And, you know, at this point, you can kind of hear there's some kind of rumbling going on. It was funny because when I was watching this, I was like, man, is this guy getting like thrown to the ground? And then, of course, no, it's you just kind of, let me see if I can pull it up, tossing this dude. And of course, it's been made into a GIF that we got to share real quick. But this is the guy coming at you. It was an older gentleman. I don't know why he thought he was just going to come choke you and have no repercussions. But and again, that's not like a, you know, we're condoning violence or anything. But, you know, you're defending yourself, really, is all that happened was you decided to defend yourself against somebody who violently came at you because, in my mind, that person has to either be so programmed or so triggered, you know, that how dare this person question the vaccines? How dare this person question Pfizer? Like you said, they're coming to simp for Big Pharma. I think there's definitely some kind of programming on this. And I do tend to think that there's some correlation between folks who are highly educated and look at maybe folks like you, folks like me, people watching this, and think we're too stupid to know what's really going on, right? We don't got the degrees on our walls back here, right? So clearly, these crazy people, and they're shouting about some, you know, alleged thing about Pfizer, I never heard of that. That can't be true, right? Like, and I'm the PhD here, so clearly I know. I think it can be as simple as that. Like, maybe not everybody is acting, you know, some paid agent acting maliciously. They've just sort of drank the Kool-Aid, and they think because they're so intelligent that there's no way that they could be wrong. I mean, I think it could be that simple.
Right. I mean, it's the term useful idiot. And, you know, I think what it is, gosh, what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought for a second. No, but yeah, there's such thing as overeducation. Like, you know, and I think a lot of them, like I call the whole COVID thing revenge of the nerds, basically. Like, everybody, they have their power now. And I think what it is, you know, they were losers. Not saying high school's everything, but they were losers in high school. They didn't have too many friends growing up. And they cope with the fact that they can't find like a partner to have kids with, you know, so their whole existence is that piece of paper like that. It's like their whole thing is a big giant cope, I think. And, you know, so they inflict that on others when people question, you know, because it's so fragile because their whole life is a piece of paper to them. And you know, there is, like I said, there is such thing as being overeducated. They're getting their education from the top down. So whatever is fed to them, they believe it's true because that's education. That's the piece of paper that has to be true. So, you know, rather than, you know, so when you're overeducated, there's no critical thinking going on. Like, the more educated you are, the less your critical thinking comes into play.
Well, and I think it, part of that definitely plays into what we've seen the last 2 years, which is folks at that, again, with that high of a degree, they look down on people who don't have those degrees and that paper. And then when they have another person who has that same degree telling them, this is the worst thing ever, get the shot, they're like, oh, I'm going to trust the person who has the paper like I have, not sure. These other uneducated idiots out there on the internet, right? Like, and so, you know, again, thank you for taking the time to speak up and to, you know, the guy came at you, you tossed them aside. What happened? I mean, they just escorted you out of the building. What happened after that?
No, I just kind of walked out. You know, it was a very crowded event, so I didn't want to catch COVID or anything. It was a super spreader event. So I did the responsible scientific thing and walked out. And then the cops were down the street. And, you know, it was Rice University cops. So I just waved them down because I knew it would have to come to me showing them the video anyway. So I wasn't about to go run. And, you know, I showed them the video. And surprisingly, the cops were like, you know, oh, that's self-defense. You're good to go. Do you want to press charges on him? And, you know, at the time I was like, nah, I'm good. But I'm trying to find out who he is now because, you know, seeing like the comments and the support that I got from this and, you know, basically seeing what they did to Alex Jones, I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's time to hit back at them. Time to stop being the nice guy. Like, screw this. So I'm trying to find this guy currently.
Hey, well, if anybody listening to this can identify him, there's definitely some good close-ups in the videos that are out there. So I don't think it should be too hard. And I think you're right. Look, whether it's this guy or just in general, that idea that, well, we're the side, you know, loosely, you know, people who are questioning COVID, let's say that, right? Sure. Questioning shots, who have been censored, banned, deplatformed, PayPal removed, you know, financial resources taken away, right? Yeah. And like you said, maybe at some point there does need to be an effort to say, hey, look, somebody just came at me violently because he didn't like what I said. And the other side needs to know that you can't get away with that because we've seen the last 2 years, the vitriol for people who are, and I don't know or care your vaccinated status. It's not my business. But the people who chose to get not vaccinated, we've seen this like vitriol against them. They should be fired. They should be cast out of society. They, you know, I'm going to go laugh at their funerals if they die. These kinds of, you know, empathetic and compassionate things that we hear, right? Okay. That at some point there needs to be a message of like, hey, you can't just think it's okay to come after people, whether physically, otherwise, like because they have opinions or views that you don't like. I mean, so I support that fully. If you can find him, yeah, maybe there is a case there.
Yeah.
Let's, if you won't mind, brother, I'd love to hear more about some of the other stuff you do. I've got your Rumble channel pulled up and I know you have a YouTube and maybe some other platforms you're on, but, mm-hmm. What you normally do, I think is related in some ways. It's maybe a different field, but it's calling out, you know, insanity, let's say, and calling out corruption and dark things. And my regular listeners know that this is a topic that I focus on quite a bit journalistically, child abuse, sexual abuse, predators, pedophilia, these kinds of things, whether the you know, the local guy in your neighborhood or a politician, right? Like, I think it all matters, right? Sometimes people only focus on the salacious, like, well, is there a celebrity involved? Is there a politician involved?
Right, right.
But what you show is that, like, this is just people all around us all the time doing these kinds of things. So tell us about what Predator Poachers is, how you got started doing this, and yeah, what, you know, just whatever you want to share on that.
Yeah, so we started Predator Poachers in 2019. At first, I called it the ghetto Walmart version of Chris Hansen, but now I think we evolved into something more than that. So we're high school friends who came together, started posing as kids online, and just like the show to Chris, just like the Chris Hansen show, online predators message who they believe to be kids, and we confront them. Now, the difference with us, and I'd say a lot of these people that do this, is we pose as super young. So our the average age we pose as is 11 years old, and we've posed as young as 5 years old, 8 years old, and we've caught people going after infants because we float around like, oh, I have a little sister, by the way, who's only one. And predators go after that. So I think we expose the sickest of the sickest and the worst of the worst. And we travel the country confronting them on camera, then handing over their confession to law enforcement. And that's resulted in an arrest in, as far as I know, 35 states. More are coming soon because investigations are ongoing in states we haven't had arrests in yet. But, so that's what we do. And we post the videos on our Rumble Predator Poachers and other platforms.
Have you, so, I mean, obviously, like, you're a bigger dude. The video that we just talked about showed you can handle, you can stiff arm if you need to, you can toss somebody aside if you need to. But have you ever found yourself, like, in a situation where a predator tried to, like, I've seen some of the videos I was watching where you guys kind of, like, hey, you're not going anywhere, you wait here till the cops show up after you confront them. But has anybody ever tried to get violent with you or, you know, anything like that?
There was one guy in 2019 that, like, viciously scratched the cameraman. He was like a 5'5", you know, little wimp dude. But as for getting confrontational with me, I mean, just one also who's just very small. But there has been times where we've been threatened with weapons before. And that's like, you know, you have to kind of be persuasive and be a used car salesman and convince them to like not use the weapon and stuff like that. And that's a very that's very testing, I'd say.
Yeah, you seem to exercise some level of like conflict resolution, de-escalation skills. Just maybe it's just your nature, but from the videos I've watched, you know, obviously when you're confronting people with something like this, and you can just see it, their minds like, oh my god, I've been cut. Wait, like, is there any way around this? You're like, no, buddy, we got you. We got all the text. Like, it's you know, just chill out. You can see them trying to just figure out like, should I run? Who are these people? What's going on? Right? Is that something that you just developed over time, or just you know, naturally diplomatic with people?
Yeah, I would say that's something that got developed because, you know, doing this across the country, you know, all the detectives watch the videos in the jurisdiction. So, you know, they give me tips on like, hey, you know, instead of this, open with this or say this. And, you know, from there, it's definitely been, from there, it's definitely like, you know, they teach me human nature of these people and it's really helped a lot. So it's, you know, morphed me into definitely better than I was 3 years ago. And yeah, no, it is all about de-escalating what they're doing and minimizing it. So for example, like, you know, oh, you're going after an 11-year-old. Okay. But you know, you wouldn't do this to an 8-year-old, would you? Like, no, of course not. Like, okay. Well, now I understand. And I mean, that somehow works on them. And then, you know, saying stuff like, you know, there's like really bad people online that want to grape people without the G. And I know we're going to be on the radio here and that want to like kidnap these people. Like, I know you wouldn't do something like that. They're like, no, of course not. So basically you got to kind of pedestalize them compared to the rest of the people like them. And that's what kind of gets them to open up. And then, you know, this detective in Odessa, Texas, shout out to Detective C. I'm not going to say his name. But he basically told me this line that says, hey, I don't think you need trouble. I just think you need some help. And that gets them in a whole different mode. Like, you know, you're their friend. And of course, like dropping jokes here and there, like just kind of lightening the mood up, saying, yeah, it's not that serious. You know, it's like a conversation. Just make it like that.
Yeah, no, you do a great job of that. And I've heard you use those lines as well. And I do think it's interesting just how, you know, the psychology of it, this person obviously is in pursuit of something very messed up that, you know, none of us here support or condone or anything like that. And then just by kind of like, man, oh, it was not that bad. Like, don't worry. Like, you know, this could have been much worse or whatever line you might throw in there. They do seem to sort of like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, this guy sees me as a human. I'm, you know, even though it's like the cops are on the way, bro, that doesn't mean anything's changing, but you know, let me just make you feel okay for a moment. And it does seem to work on them. And it, in fact, it seems like some of them get more talkative with you after that.
Yeah. And it's all about like, you know, when they answer a question, how you don't like it, you got to rephrase the question. Like this video that's going to drop soon. This guy admitted to having, you know, CP, for those of you that know the abbreviation of that, CP on his phone. But he said no at first, but then I was like, oh, okay, well, it's not porn, but, you know, maybe just naked pictures of young ladies under 18. He's like, oh, yeah, just pictures, though. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then the cops come like a second later and just punk him out. It was so funny.
Wow. Man, I appreciate that work you're doing. Just one last thing. Would you advise anybody else to get into that if they're interested? Or does this feel like you feel like it's a special set of skills people need to have?
Oh man. Well, when I first started doing this, the people that were doing it already, they were just so, oh, you shouldn't be doing this or, oh no, this is only for, so look, I encourage anybody to go expose a predator, but you know, do it in a way like research the laws, do it in a way that isn't going to screw up a case. Like for example, using nude photos to send to preds, that can screw it up. I'm not talking about get pictures of kids, obviously, instead of, but even like, you know, finding a nude to send like from online and sending it saying, oh, it's me. Don't do stuff like that. I made that mistake, you know, very early on, of course. And, you know, don't message first, like basically do it in a way to where, a PD can look at it and say, okay, this person wasn't entrapped or enticed in any way. And this person went out of his way to go be a predator. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely don't want to end up in a situation where you feel like you found somebody who is up to stuff and then they get off because your approach was wrong, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, definitely something to consider. Well, thank you so much for your time, brother. Thank you for speaking up at the Texas vaccine policy. Sorry you had somebody tickle your throat for a moment, but at least you handled it well. And keep fighting, man, to expose the predators. And anything else you want to leave us with? Any links you want to mention or anything like that?
Thank you for having me on. We'll definitely do it again. And if you want to follow us on Rumble, it's Predator Poachers. That's Predator and then Poachers, like poaching elephant. And the Twitter is I Fight for Kids. That is completely spelled out.
Awesome. Guys, we've been talking with Alex Rosen of Predator Poachers, somebody speaking up for truth in a number of different ways. We'll be right back.